Ephesians 3. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray from his glorious, unlimited resources that he will empower you with his inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ that is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all the glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might be able to ask or think. Glory to him in the church and Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right, so fantastic faith. Here's the challenge. Is your faith just okay? Is it just okay? You've listened to the commercial over and over again. Different settings in humanity. The common is, yeah, I'm just okay. Is our faith just okay, or is our faith growing? Are we engaged in our faith? Is our faith powerful? Or is our faith just okay? We have a great definition of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is a confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. Are your hopes, are your dreams, are the ideas that you have in your head, are they just pipe dreams? Or do you really think that you've gotten that thought because God is doing something in you and through you? Do you have a confidence that God is with you every day? And that what you hope for will actually happen? Not just in your head, but actually happen. It gives us an assurance about the things that we cannot see. And there's always a few things that we can't see about what God is calling us to do. Oh, we get to see at times a lot of what God wants from us. Many of the big pieces of what God is doing in us and through us, but I don't know about you, but I don't get to know it all. And it is what we said a few weeks ago. If you don't go, you'll never know. And we do need to act on what we know, where God is leading us, even though we don't have all the moving parts to what he wants us to do. Here's how Paul put it. He says, "Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." Now, I might not be very good at the asking part, but the thinking part, I'm really good at that part. I can think, I can imagine lots of good things. But are those just human ideas? Am I only looking right in front of me, or am I looking down the way? Do we believe that we worship a God that does mighty things, or is everything in life just supposed to be ordinary, just okay? I think God is up to more than just okay in our world, more than just okay in us. Because of your faith, it will happen. Now, here's the challenge. We know that that's true. It will happen through our faith, and we're worried about our faith. We're afraid that our faith is just okay. And if you're not worried about the fact that your faith is just okay, let's get a little concerned today. Let's bring it to the forefront of our minds and not just muse at the commercial. But realize God is up to something in us and through us. I know some don't feel worthy of that. If you feel, I don't feel worthy of that. Oftentimes it's all about what we don't know, what we haven't experienced, than what we know or what we have experienced. I believe it's the law of faithful expectation. Have you noticed that life often deals you what you expect? And what do you expect? What do you expect God to do? Expectations. Expectations come in a couple of sizes. I'm going to clump them into two. When it comes to faithful expectation, God does not want us to be a pessimist. He does not want us to be a pessimist. The scripture passage, Job 3:24, it's interesting. It's noting that people are just groaning and complaining. And if you've noticed that you've been groaning and complaining a lot, well, it might be that you've gotten a little pessimistic about your faith. And I get it. The more complex your life becomes, the older, the more mature you are, we start thinking that the best is behind us instead of before us. That we're already past our big impact in life. But up ahead, I can tell you, the best is up ahead. How do I know that? Because heaven's up ahead. Heaven is up ahead. And that's the best. Are we confident that what we pray for, what we see in our mind's eye will actually happen? Are we trusting when we only know a little bit and we don't see it all in the future? Does that get us stopped in our tracks? Does that get us pessimistic? And I believe it's easy to be a pessimist. It's very easy to be a pessimist. It's very easy to throw yourself a pity party. And if you notice, no one likes to come to that party. Boo-hoo, you're all alone. Yeah, you're boo-hooing. Now, I'm like you. It's not like it's all getting easier. I very much understand the challenges of life and faith. But be pessimistic? Yeah, that's not my nature. What God wants us to do, what we're commanded to do in Hebrews chapter 11, 1, is to be an optimist about what God is doing, not a pessimist about what God is doing. And yeah, there's a lot to be pessimistic about. But don't be pessimistic about your faith. Don't live with it's just okay. God has done more than that when he resurrected from the dead. God has done more than that by releasing the Holy Spirit. God is up to a lot more than just temporal things in this world. He is up to eternal things in this world. And I can tell you this, he works best through people who are optimistic. Philippians 1:20. Paul says, "For I fully expect and hope that I will continue to be bold for Christ. I trust that my life will bring honor to God." And Paul faced a lot of things. A lot of things in life. A lot of difficult things in life. I believe that one of the things Paul relied on was his own conversion. Talk about 180 degrees. Talk about God making himself known to you. Well, Paul experienced that. And he did not want to go back. He just wanted to go forward. Paul was an optimist about what God can and do. Optimists, well, they expect the best. Optimists understand that the Holy Spirit is increasing things in them, not decreasing things in them. That God is increasing our ability, giving us a better, at times bigger vision, thinking, image. Optimistic people honor God. Why? Because they believe what they're thinking and what they're attempting to do, that God will do something with that. That God will do even more than we can think or imagine. More than we ask. And I hope you're asking for a lot. It's the privilege of being children of God. We have the highest status on this planet, so to speak. Because we are children of the Almighty God. And there isn't anything that God can't do that he wants to do. Nothing. So how do we get ourselves from our pessimistic self to being more of an optimist? How do we take the real life that we have with all of the bumps and bruises and brokenness that we have and the obstacles and the odds that we often face, how do we get beyond just having an okay faith? Here's a few suggestions. Number one, as you get up in the morning, focus on your faith. Focus on your faith early in the day. I'm a big fan for having a time and a place. A time and a place, a special time and a place. David is speaking for God. "Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my request to you and I wait expectantly." I wait expectantly. Well, what are you expecting? If you're not expecting that God's going to do something through you, it's going to be really hard. But if we have some expectations, some hope, some trust, and we raise that up to God as we begin our day, it's amazing what God will say to us or show us. And if you've made your way through, maybe not a single whole day, but a couple of days, for sure a week, and you haven't felt the Holy Spirit kind of whispering to you or tapping you on the back of the shoulder or... maybe it's about your expectation. Maybe it's about settling in a little too much with just an okay faith and not having a dynamic, growing faith a special time, a special place. You're going to crack your Bible. You're going to pray to God. You're going to ask Him, here's my agenda for the day. What's your agenda? That's committing your day and your way to God. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Notice the optimistic tone of that verse. And I understand, we wake up some days and it's not like we want to, rejoice. Look at all the problems I get to deal with today. Right? I get it. I get it. Some days you wake up, you're a wreck. Feel like a wreck emotionally. Feel like a wreck physically. You look like a wreck when I see you. Here's the deal. If you're like me, I have a whole agenda for the day. Boom, 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 boom. So I have a way. The question is that God's way? And I'm thinking I've got this full agenda because I'm doing what God wants me to do. But I still have to say, okay, God, I want my day to be your day. And I'm like you. I wake up in the morning. I know whose day I want it to be. I want it to be my day. You get your day, it's your birthday. The rest of the time, you wake up in the morning and you've got to what? You got to commit your day and your way to God. And as you do that, my experience is it's amazing how God uses the day. Sometimes it's just as scheduled. Other times, it's not anything like it was supposed to be scheduled, at least in my mind or on my calendar. It helps if early in the morning you focus on your faith, that you bring some expectation to your relationship with God and to your life. And if you don't know what to expect, that's where reading comes in, studying the Bible, meditating about what the Bible says. Number two, get yourself ready, because you're going to have some stress and some worry and some fretting. I love what Paul says here. We were crushed and overwhelmed. We have crushed, overwhelmed days, don't we? In fact, we've had some dreams crushed to the point that we're not sure we ever want to dream again. Because we had an expectation. We had some really good thoughts, some dreams, and those have been dashed, crushed. Paul understands that. Listen to what he says. The great evangelist to the Gentiles says, I was crushed and overwhelmed. We were crushed and overwhelmed. We thought we would never live through it. Oh, I've said that a few times in my life. I'm not sure I'm going to live through this. Right? Wake up and you're in the washing machine of life and you just want to say, okay, take me now. Take me now. But as a result, we stop relying on our own selves and learn to rely on God who raised the dead. Where have you put your faith? And I think we have to be very intentional about not putting our faith in us. We're a pretty talented, successful group as a church. And as we've made our way to adulthood and some of us into mature adulthood, boy, some pretty amazing things have been done under our leadership through our talent and ability, through our calling, our ideas. And it's so easy to wake up every morning and go, I got this. I notice as I've gotten older, I say that a little less than I used to say. Oh, maybe I've got this. Well, I could get this. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. The scissors thing applies. You have to do what you can do. But God is going to do only what God can do. And if you have an expectation, it's probably a little beyond your game. That's where God comes in. And are we looking to Him? Are we relying upon Him? And I know how the math works out. The math works out that we don't want to put God in the equation because we're afraid of what's going to happen. And it's a lot easier to kind of keep God out of the equation. Oh, okay, well, we'll put Him in the equation when we're in trouble, when we get a bad report, when we have a need that goes beyond our own ability. But we don't have to save God's power over the dead for only the dead places in our life. We can rely upon God more than when it's a 911 call to Him. Oh! And what I love about God is He doesn't stop and say, well, by the way, you haven't talked to me lately. No, just the opposite. He listens to everything we say. And when we say, help, Lord, He doesn't turn His back on us, just the opposite. He's there to help. So, if you're fretting too much, if you're worrying too much, if you're stressed out too much, look and see if you're relying just upon yourself. Or are you relying on God, having faith in God, trusting in God, hoping in God? It's interesting, there are 365 verses in the Bible that tell you not to worry, not to fret. One for every day. And when you're going one day at a time, it's good to know there's one for every day. Another thing we need to do is we need to jettison the negative. The negative comes in two categories. One, jettison the people who are naysayers in your life, who are negative people in your life. Bad company ruins good character. A good negative comment is just enough to zap the faith that you're working on. Right? What do they say? That'll never happen. What do they say? They say, oh, you can't do that. What are you thinking? Bad company, negative company makes us negative. The other thing is stop the negative self-talk. I don't know if you know you do this, but you talk to yourself almost twice as fast as you can talk verbally, and for me, that's fast. People often say when I bring this up, is it bad that I talk to myself? And I always say, as long as you're answering yourself in your own voice. But if you're answering in a different voice than your own, then you need some help. Then you need some help. And here's the deal. What did you grow up with? You grow up in an environment that said you can't, you won't, you couldn't even if you wanted to. You'll never amount to anything. I had a teacher say that to me once. those authority figures run on the closed loop tape of our minds. And when you learn to listen to yourself talk, I guarantee you, you're going to hear someone in authority. You're going to hear your mom or your dad or your older brother and sister or a teacher or a coach or somebody in authority that has told you, you never will, you can't, don't try. And I can tell you, that's not what I read in the Bible. That's not why Jesus died on the cross and has resurrection power to give us. And so we have to erase that tape and put a new message on there, a hopeful message on there, a faith message on there, an expectation message on there, a God message on there. He knows you, He created you, He knows you, and He knows what He's calling you to do. And when He's calling you to do something, you don't need to be negative about it. It doesn't mean you can't enter that into your mind, but don't let it just run below the surface. And every time you get ready to move forward, you hesitate because you're playing that tape. God says you can and will. God says you have a reason. You should have an assurance that the things that you hope for and you think about will actually happen. And it's okay if you can't see everything as you move up ahead. That's part of doing what God wants us to do. We never know all of it. We got to go if we're going to know. One last thing, keep your eye on the prize. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. Wow. Wow. What's Paul talking about? He's talking about eternity. Gather up all the things that you think about eternity or going to heaven. And it's better than that. Man, I can think a lot. I can imagine a lot. And heaven's even better than we think it's going to be. And that's our real goal, isn't it? Isn't our real goal eternity? Isn't our real goal to be in the full glory of God? Oh, I think that's our ultimate goal. The challenge is whether all the goals that move back from eternity, whether those are lining us up for eternity. And our life on this planet is first and foremost about loving God. And I can tell you the most loving thing you can do for your neighbor is to make sure they're going to spend eternity with you. It's about the expansion and the enrichment of God's kingdom. And as I like to say, if you're not telling people about going to heaven, you're telling them to go to hell. And I know that's hard to hear, especially if you're a guest and you've kind of come to kind of figure out what this is all about. But even though it's hard to hear, that doesn't mean it's wrong. Even though that's a very exclusive statement, it doesn't make it wrong. Remember, if you value everything, you really value nothing. If you value everything, you really value nothing. And my hope for you this holiday season is that you have a fantastic faith. That you're able to set aside any pessimism you have as you make your way. And I know the holiday season is not a happy season for everybody. And as you do that, that will happen more and more as you focus on your faith, as you go to God with your worries and your frets, your stresses and your depressions. Do yourself a favor. Get rid of the negative. Hold those negative people at arm's length and pray for them. Lord, do something positive so they'll be more positive. Stop beating yourself up. God loves you and He has a wonderful plan for your life and your eternity. And don't forget, keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on the goal. What's your goal in life? If your goal in life is to maximize the opportunity as you head your way to eternity, yeah, God will do miraculous, unbelievable things in your life. He is worthy of more than just okay faith. He's worthy of a vibrant, a hopeful, a trustful, a faith that anticipates good things up ahead. He's worthy of that kind of faith. That's a faith that honors Him. That's the faith that He multiplies. That's the faith that other people like when they see it in us. Let us pray together. Jesus, we often think less of ourselves than You do. And it makes sense. We're imperfect people. We're limited here, there, sometimes everywhere. And that causes us to be pessimistic about what You would ever do with us, how You might ever do something eternal, something miraculous in us and through us. Father, remind us that in You we find all the good things that we need. Remind us, Lord, that no matter what some naysayer has said to us, that the words that are most important are the words that You say to us. Jesus, as we make our way into this holiday season, help us to have an expectation, a faithful expectation about what you're doing in us and through us and around us. Lord, thank You for being the God that You are. I'm thankful that You haven't kept Your opinion of us to Yourself, but You share it encouragingly with us over and over and over again in Your Word. Lord, we pray all these things in Your name. Amen. So where do we go from here today? I hope you put these ideas into play in your life, but it does begin by, where are you placing your trust? My prayer is that you would place your trust in Jesus. And I'd encourage you to share with Him what you think, what you imagine. And hang on, because I believe the things that we think about, we can have a great assurance that not only that God can, but God will. Not only now, but in the future and for all eternity. Amen.